met with Theodore and for the first part of September.
Wow, so for folks who are interested, I guess they can get in touch with Theodora, and I'll have to check with her first on that. But if you want to learn more about this, do give a call to 423-4833, and I will try to take your name and number and forward your information to folks who may know exactly when BE is coming. And of course, I'll give you BE's number. Do you want me to give out your number, BE, or do you want this to be done a bit more circumspectly?
Well, if it's an emergency, I don't mind helping anyone.
Okay, well, should I give it out on the air now, or would you like me to wait until somebody calls?
Go ahead.
Okay, well, your number, as I have it here, is 530-629-4356.
Uh-huh.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So again, if you want to reach B.E. Smith to talk to him directly, and you've got to be patient because he's not always there, he does a lot of traveling, his phone number is 530-629-4356. And if you miss that number, give me a call at 423-HUFF, and I'll give it to you later on. So you suggest that homeless folks who are harassed with these, if you sit down on the sidewalk and they give you a ticket, or if they try to take your property and give you a ticket for having property, you know, having your possessions with you, which is what they're doing in San Diego, or they claim you're lodging because you're simply sitting, or they give you a ticket for whistling in the park, which is now, by the way, a crime in Buena Park, California, or if they give you a ticket for peacefully asking for spare change on the street, which is a crime in Santa Cruz after dark, or if you do it from a seated position, or if there's more than two people, actually it's more than one person, I believe, doing it, even if you're peaceful, you suggest that the response be simply to decline to sign the ticket and say, if you want, please take me to a magistrate?
Right. If you sign that ticket, you're waiving your coming law right, okay, to the writ habeas corpus. You're going to get into the jurisdiction of the statutory courts, and they're going to get you one way or the other. So if you don't sign a ticket, the only option left for that peace officer is to take you to a magistrate. And then your accuser, the complainant, has to get on the witness stand under oath and describe his injury that you committed. Now, if you didn't hurt anyone, he can't describe that injury. It has to be a natural person. It can't be a government. Government is fiction. They're created by a book. They're humans.
You know, while I, of course, I agree with the logic and the sense of what you're saying, I know that the practices of courts are considerably different.
Well, right, but it was the same way in when Jesus walked the earth too. Everything they did to him was contrary to Roman and Jewish law. So when they do something to us, and it's not right, and it's contrary to American law, right? There's no other way you can beat it except with guns. And I don't want that to happen.
Well, you know the old saying, the old golden rule, that she who has the gold makes the rules, right? And the problem with trying to assert your rights is, it's like the freedom of speech in America, or freedom of the press. Freedom of the press, of course, is available for anyone who has the money to own a press. And the problem is freedom of, for example, the right to successfully file for a writ of habeas corpus and so forth depends upon your having the skills or the contacts to be able to do that.
The only thing you have to put down, there's many types of writ of habeas corpus, but the one that you're going to deal with is there's a whole chapter about it, and it begins at 1473 of the Penal Code. It tells you exactly what to do and how to do it and when to do it, and it tells them what to do and how to do it and when to do it. It tells them what a writ of habeas corpus is about. Now, a writ of habeas corpus brings out the due process of why you, a free person, is in jail. And due process requires a complaint and a warrant. And when the magistrate makes a determination from the complaint, then he shall issue a warrant for your arrest. And when he makes the determination of the alleged injury to the victim, he has to put that amount down on the warrant. And if there's no victim, then he can't sign a warrant. So therefore, he can't legally put you in jail because there has to be a warrant for you to be put into the jail in this country.
Go ahead, B.E.
Are you back?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So, you're telling me that Penal Code 1473, which describes the specifics of the writ of habeas corpus, is a state law or a federal law?
It's a state.
This state law specifies that there has to be a victim and damage and so forth, or this is something you feel is implicit in common law, or what is your sense of that?
Section 1275 of the 1275 of the Penal Code is section that tells the magistrate how he shall fill out the arrest warrant. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's four issues that the law makes him take into consideration. One of them is alleged injury to the victim. If there's no victim, then he can't sign that warrant.
So you're saying that all laws, and there are thousands of them, which criminalize behavior that doesn't apparently involve a victim, like the drug laws.
They only apply to the public sector, not the private sector. Now, see, the government was created for our protection, security, and benefit, right?
We all have our own views on that. One would hope so, but...
That's what the state constitution says.
Uh-huh.
Ooh. Article 1 is the Declaration of Rights. It says all people are by nature free and independent and have inalienable rights. And then Article 2 says why the government was instituted. That was for our protection, benefit, and security. And so they have to hire people, public servants, to give us protection, security, and a benefit, right? Well, while they're working to give us protection, security, and a benefit, they have to be code books written to tell them what to do and how to do it. And this is where the drug laws comes in. That's the drug law applies to the public sector. If you're a Caltrans worker, you can't be smoking pot while you're driving a truck down the highway working for the Caltrans during the day. You can't smoke pot as a school bus driver.
Well, you understand this distinction between public and private jurisdiction is one that is neither widely known nor probably widely followed by the courts.
Got a dollar bill in your pocket, take it out and look on the left-hand side of George Washington and it says this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private.
Uh-huh.
Government recognizes public and private. You can be arrested by a public officer, which is a peace officer, or you can be arrested by a private person. There's public property and there's private property.
And are you claiming that the courts have acknowledged that all the drug laws do not apply to individuals in their private capacity if they're not employed by the government?
Oh, right. I mean, the higher ups, the Supreme Court knows all about this scam. You see, the issue has to be brought before them in a certain way before they decide on it.
Go ahead, B.
Hey, what was we at?
Well, I was saying that. While indeed you may well be right in a pristine sense, my question is, do higher courts actually recognize this? And if they did, wouldn't we have many more drug cases thrown out, since I would say probably 99% of drug cases are against private individuals in their private capacity, not acting in any public capacity?
Indeed, they waive their right to stay in that private sector when they bail out. Bailing out is the same as signing a ticket. You post bail, either by money or signing your name to the bail, or you're waiving your right.
So are you saying then that it is simply the failure to follow a particular technical procedure that strips you of your rights and puts you into the public sector?
Yeah. Yeah, the government has never taken any rights away from the private sector. They have never had the right to do that. We can only waive our rights away, and boy, did they dumb us down over the last 150 years. We have the same rights as our forefathers. James Madison, and he should know a little bit about the Constitution, James Madison said that our rights were perpetual. So that means that I had the same rights as George Washington. George Washington smoked pot because he had dentures, and then his gums hurt. They was made out of wood.
Right, but I don't think that pot was illegal in those days. It became illegal federally in 1937, I believe.
Right, it wasn't illegal in the public or private sector.
Right.
See, Now, if it was illegal in the private sector, it would be in the Constitution.
Can you give us an example of something that's illegal in the private sector that is in the Constitution?
Constitution is a private contract among the men and women of this country. Okay, that's common law. Now, if it said that we couldn't cultivate marijuana in the Constitution, but it's not in the Constitution. But remember the prohibition on alcohol? It was in the Constitution.
So you say that particular bar in the Constitution then made it applicable widely to the private sector as well?
Right, in prohibition, yeah. It was, yeah, Congress had the power to do it. We had to give Congress the power, and we got to tell them what the power is for, too.
Mm-hmm.
So this scam's working on the Commerce Clause right now, but that's a big joke.
So are you saying that high-powered drug attorneys throughout the country are letting their clients take a dive because they are not using the simple technical defense of advising their clients?
The attorneys don't know. They went to law school. You know, a person is born with a brain, but he doesn't have nothing programmed in the brain. It's only what you put in there is what he's going to become. So when you go to law school and they teach you how to be a lawyer in the public sector or once, see, a lawyer usually comes in on your case once they acquire jurisdiction. See, there's only two types of jurisdiction in California, civil and criminal. Right? Civil jurisdiction, you have to convey it to them. You got to give them permission to hear your case. And in criminal jurisdiction, they have to acquire it. And they acquire it through a complaint and a warrant. Now they got jurisdiction to hear the case, and if you get found guilty, then they have the authority to punish you. See, government is fiction. They're creatures. They're created by a book. They can only do what the book tells them to do. We're humans. See, we're regulated by our creator.
So you're saying that what would normally be a private act, growing marijuana, smoking marijuana, even buying and selling marijuana,
private contract,
as a private contract, enters the jurisdiction of these courts once you start signing their documents?
Right, you waive your right to the writ of habeas corpus. So you always got to go back to it. You can do anything in this country as long as you don't hurt anyone. See what I mean? As long as you have a right to have an accuser.
Well, I understand the theory. My question to you is, has that theory ever been widely followed? I mean, it's certainly a reasonable theory. It sounds like a good theory. It also sounds like one that hasn't been followed by the courts since day one.
It was lost. And it was, you know, you got to remember, when this country was formed, we had a lot of morals in this country then. We had, I think, 25 lawyers was at the Constitution Convention, but there wasn't the same type of lawyers you're facing in the States world, let me tell you right now, buddy. See, there's a difference in morals. And so,
I don't know, there was lots of slaveholders there, and they wrote that one into the Constitution too, you know.
That's true, but, you know, somewhere we're messed up too, you know, in our day and age and thinking.
No, definitely. No argument there, B.E.
So,
we're talking to B.E. Smith, constitutionalist, freedom fighter, and medical marijuana advocate, I guess you would say. Is that accurate?
Yes, sir.
B.E. lives up in Trinity County, and he's been successfully fighting police misconduct in the sense that he's been, I guess you're not really, you're in pretty good terms with the police departments, right?
Well, I'm been trying to run for sheriff for the last 8 years, but I can't seem to get this law overturned in California that says you have to be a peace officer with a degree to run for sheriff. And I just took it to the state Supreme Court here a few months ago, and it was, my writ was denied. So now my remedy is going to federal court, but I have to put it on the back burner right now because of all these other matters that I'm involved with. But I hope to be sheriff one day of Trinity County, and then I'm going to guarantee that the citizens of this county is going to have common law.
Does the current sheriff recognize the validity of this approach?
Of course, yeah.
What's his name?
Does, but, and I know Paul very well. Paul is our sheriff, and you know, when I went to the sheriffs of Trinity County and Shasta County, I talked to them about what I rediscovered in our Constitution, and they both agreed with me. I got them in, they told me I had them underneath a rock in a hard spot because, hey, let's face it, you know, they've been taking a lot of, extorting a lot of money from the American people in the last 60 years in the vehicle code book, and they didn't have a right to do it. What are they going to say? Oops, we're sorry. That's not going to happen. I mean, a lot of family has been destroyed.
Now, Trinity County, how big an industry is, or how big a business is marijuana sales and production there?
Not very good anymore. In the 80s, it was high up there like Humboldt County. But it's just not that way anymore.
Is that because the police have essentially terrified people, or because people have made independent choices?
I don't think our policemen can terrify anybody. No, they're not bad guys.
Well, I'm talking more about the feds, but...
Well, the feds, they usually stay in Humboldt County a lot. They fly over this area, but...
So it's happened for other reasons that folks have stopped growing grass?
Yeah, that's the main thing right there. People just stop growing and they move different parts of the country, going indoors and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. So... What do you see coming up in the next few months, in the next year, around this attempt to educate people about their rights regarding victimless crimes?
Well, one day here soon, it's going to take off like a prairie fire. It's just going to sweep this country because understand common law, because common law comes from your conscience, right? And so one day when the time's right, and there's a time for everything, people on the West Coast, Eureka, Garberville, and Willis, they're picking it up real quick, and I'm glad to be teaching over there. I have I'm a guest on a radio show once a month, once every 2 months, and we talk about, take me to the magistrate for about an hour and a half. So it's going good over in that area.
And hopefully your book will be out fairly soon, or?
No, if I can just get that last chapter done, you know.
Well, write that last chapter, B.
There's so many ways of explaining it that...
Choose one.
Pardon?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
There's so many ways to explain how to be a speeding ticket that I got to pick the best one where majority of the people can understand it and take it from there, because if you can learn how to beat a speeding ticket through this process, then you can beat misdemeanors and felonies, as long as there's no victim.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a victim, I suggest you hire your good attorney.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been talking to B.E. Smith in Trinity County. B.E.'s number, again, for those who want to contact him directly. Well, why don't you give it out, B.E.?
530-629-4356.
That's 530-629-4356. And B.E. is a man who lives by what he says, which involves essentially regaining rights that have been forgotten or set aside or covered up that are in the Constitution or that are essentially part of the common law. And they involve essentially the rights of people to do what they need to do and what they want to do, as long as they don't trample upon the rights of other people. Does that pretty much cover it? Or?
Correct. You know, that's the golden rule. Do unto others as they would do unto you.
Well, B.E., I appreciate you taking this time. And if people want to reach you without calling that long-distance number, if they want to, say, get an address, I'll, again, suggest you give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and I'll give you that information. Thanks a lot, B.E.
Hey, my friend.
1, 2, 3, 4, marching down the street, rolling of the drums and the tramping of the feet. General salutes and mothers waving we. Here comes the big parade. Don't be afraid, price is paid, one more parade. So young, so strong, so ready for the war, so willing to go and die upon a foreign shore. All march together, everybody looks the same, so there is no one you can blame. Don't be ashamed, light the flame, one more parade. Listen for the sound and listen for the noise, listen for the thunder of the marching boys. Few years ago their guns were only toys. Here comes the big parade. Don't be afraid, price is paid, one more parade. So young, so strong, so ready for the war, so willing to go and die upon a foreign shore. All march together, everybody looks the same, so there's no one you can blame. Don't be ashamed, light the flame, one more parade. Medals on their coats and guns in their hands, trained to kill as they're trained to stand. 10,000 years need only one command. Here comes the big parade. Don't be afraid, price is paid, one more parade. So young, so strong, so ready for the war, so willing to go and die upon a foreign shore. All march together, everybody looks the same, so there's no one you can blame. Don't be ashamed, light the flame, one more parade. Cold hard stares on faces so proud, kisses from the girls and cheers from the crowd. And the widows from the last war crying to their shrouds. Here comes the big parade. Don't be afraid, price is paid. Don't be ashamed, war's a game, world in flames, so start the parade.
That was Phil Oakes, actually the last two songs, One More Parade, and the one before that, I Ain't Marching Anymore. Those two songs kind of frame the discussion with B.E. Smith, constitutionalist, freedom fighter, independent man up in Trinity County, who says he's coming down to Santa Cruz to do some workshops. And if you want more information about that, give a call to 423-4833. I don't have lots of information now, but when I got it, I'll be putting it out. And this show airs twice a week, Sunday at 11 on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3, which is what you're listening to, micro power station in Santa Cruz. And on Sundays at 11 and Thursdays at 6 in the evening. So just stay tuned at those times and also at other times, because there are plenty of other good broadcasters here worth listening to. I should have a list of them. In fact, I've made up a list of people particularly talking about civil rights topics, which is particularly of interest to me. Phil Free, for instance, at 7:30 on Monday evenings, has a great show, often straight from the streets. Phil's got a tape recorder and he uses it. Similarly, Skidmark Bob, his show, as I scan the program schedule, starts at 9 o'clock on Friday in the evening and goes until 2 on Saturday morning. And he often covers stuff of which he is the key subject, because police tend to target him for his reporting. He's a cop watcher, he's a musician who plays on the mall, he's a father, he's a radio broadcaster. He was one of the seminal people who began Food Not Bombs. And that plug for Food Not Bombs, by the way, as well, I'll give you that in a moment. So there's plenty of other shows here on Free Radio Santa Cruz that you can tune to that are good ones. I'm mentioning Phil's and Bob's. Reckless, of course, has a show right after mine, 1:30 on Sunday afternoons. She often gets into local topics as well. I try to focus on local topics. Sometimes I go further afield with homeless interviews in different cities, but mainly it's because I think it relates to us here specifically and directly. I know I'm leaving all kinds of broadcasters out. I apologize for that. Please call me on my hotline at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and chew me out, particularly if your show goes into local civil rights issues, because I want to mention you specifically on this show so people can know where else to turn and what other times of the week worth listening to. We used to have a lot more shows on free radio around local civil rights issues when we were in a more settled location with a larger collective, but right now, as some of you may know, we are under attack from the Federal Communications Commission. They visited us in May. We don't really have official notice, but because of the legal activity that barred Free Radio Berkeley from broadcasting, we are really operating on a very thin string here and worried that at any time the feds may come a-rapping at our door. To forestall that, I encourage you to let us know that you support Free Radio. Sign the petition that's circulating. It can be found on the mall at the Free Radio table, and offer to circulate that petition and to fundraise for Free Radio, because all this costs money, and we don't have advertisements on this station, as you may have noticed. We don't waste our time with that kind of stuff, and we don't get big grants from foundations like KPFA does. We are out of pocket here. Our radio station operates directly through the people who are in the collective, many of whom who are homeless or very, very poor, and just it goes through donated equipment, donated tapes. Everything is from hand to mouth here. So let's see if you can whip something out of your hand and put it into our mouth, and we can mouth back at you here on Free Radio. I'm going to give you now the voicemail number. That's 427-4523. 427-4523. Or you can send in a check, preferably over $1,000. Post Office Box 7507, Santa Cruz, 95061. You can also give us public service announcements. We read those announcements on the air. We're concerned with the attacks on Needle Exchange here in Santa Cruz. We're concerned with the attacks on WAM, the medical marijuana provider that Chief Belcher has recently squelched by removing from the agenda an item that was supposed to protect that group, and supposedly had the backing of the city council. But I guess when Chief Belcher says no, the city council jumps. And that is a sad thing, but apparently a true thing. About a week ago, there was a demonstration in Monterey against the California Association of Broadcasters, and I've twice tried to get through a tape on that, and kind of twice failed. But some of it got out. We were protesting down there for the rights of free radio broadcasters and the free radio audience to hear those free radio broadcasters. Instead of starting that tape for a third time, what I have here is a tape made day before yesterday in an interview with James Mason of Radio Free Monterey. We're Free Radio Berkeley, we're Free Radio Santa Cruz, he's Radio Free Monterey. And by the way, I understand I was falsely calling Free Radio Santa Cruz Free Radio Berkeley last show. We are not Free Radio Berkeley. We are, in fact, Free Radio Santa Cruz. Free Radio Berkeley has a strong transmitter, but it isn't that strong. So let's get into this interview with James Mason talking about what's happening in Monterey and with Free Radio, or Radio Free Monterey, as he calls it. Now, before we do, however, let's hear this fine song from Free Radio Berkeley broadcaster Carol Denny, who's not on the air these days, but I understand Free Radio Berkeley is still on the internet.
My radio is trying to be free, trying to find its own identity. It said, why should I make profits for some fat ass CEO? Screw the FCC. Set your radio free. Trying to stay in line, but it got tired of OJ all the time. It said, why can't I tell people things they really need to know? Screw the FCC, set your radio free. Now set your radio free, yeah, screw the FCC. set your radio free. Set your radio free, yeah. Screw the FCC, yeah. Get your radio, set your radio free. My radio is feeling so confused about the stuff that's on the evening news. It said, why are all these people telling me what's going on? Screw the FCC, set your radio free. My radio is trying to get along, but it just could not take the same old song. It said we could have our own top 10 of songs we like to do. Screw the FCC, set your radio free. Yes, set your radio free. Yes, screw the FCC. Get your radio, set your radio free. Set your radio free, yeah. Screw the FCC, yeah. Get your radio, set your radio free. Well, my mama said don't play around with electricity, but now my voice is heard across the hills of Tennessee. My radio is driving me. It said goodbye to Philip K. And we all hope his retirement is as pleasant as can be. Screw the FCC, set your radio free. Set your radio free, yeah. Screw the FCC, yeah. Get your radio, set your radio free. Set your radio free, yeah. Screw the FCC, yeah. Get your radio, set your radio. Hail and well, let your radio set your radio free.
All right, well, it's 31st of July, around 10 after 4, and we're on the line with Free Radio Monterey, or Radio Free Monterey, or Monterey Radio Guy, James Mason. Hi, James.
You identified me just fine.
Oh, good. Okay. So I ran into you last Saturday. Actually, yeah, it was last Saturday.
That's right.
In front of the, what's it called, Doubletree Hotel or Motel or whatever.
Out of the convention center in Monterey.
Downtown Monterey, and there was a gathering of micro-broadcasters concerned about the attacks on free speech by the California Association of Broadcasters.
Yes, and there was about 15 of us at the peak of the demonstration. I guess not counting children. We were lucky to have gotten television reception. Several cameras showed up. And they covered it that night.
You got a wonderful article in the morning paper the morning before this demonstration on Saturday by the Monterey Herald, right?
And coincidingly, about six local residents showed up for our protest as a result of that article.
And residents who said that they had never known there was such a station before, right?
Exactly.
Now, your call numbers for those who want to listen to Free Radio Monterey is what?
We're at 89.3
FM, and what hours of the day do you usually broadcast?
You can't find us in the middle of the day, but we pop up at night, and we are doing a morning show on the weekdays.
And is there a call-in number that can be put out for people to contact you?
Yeah, 373-4757.
373-4757 for Mason of Free Radio Monterey. Or
all right, and you can ask for anyone to do with Radio Free Monterey.
And what kind of areas are you covering in Radio Free Monterey?
What kind of issue areas?
Yeah, in the last month or two, any new areas you've entered into or anything you want to particularly point out that you're covering in on the station?
Well, yeah, I'm striving for all of that community news that is down in the streets that the public stations and the commercial broadcast stations are not finding. I've discovered I've got the ability to get on my bicycle and find more news that way.
So what news have you found in the last week?
Well, let's see. I've developed Homeless in Paradise, and we have a feature running this week. And Next week I'll be interviewing Salvation Army substance abuse counselor and developing that feature for Faith Fights Poverty.
Do you get much feedback from your audience? Do you have any indication of how many people are listening to you here at Free Radio Santa Cruz? We really don't know who's listening. We get all kinds of strange estimates from very small to very large.
We're in the same boat. I don't always invite phone calls, and I suppose that would be a way to find out better. I'm getting lots of internet hits on the website, which is, incidentally, www.radiofreemonterey.org.
So it's www.radiofreemonterey. That's all one word?
Mm-hmm.
Radiofreemonterey.org.
.org. Or .com. Either one will get you to the website.
Any reactions from authorities about Radio Free Monterey?
No. But I did find that when I went to talk to the police captain about the demonstration we would be having, that he was very receptive to the idea. And he had told me that he had heard of my station.
Now, the Saturday demonstration you had last week on the 25th of July, actually, the main conference of the California Association of Broadcasters, which is pressing the FCC to what set up hit squads around micro-broadcasting, its main day was Monday. Did you find out any further what was happening with that California Association? Did you have any actual contact with any of those big corporate broadcasters?
Oh, no. There was one lone protester, though, a loyalist, who went out there on Monday.
Uh-huh.
And,
What did she or he find?
No, he stapled several low-power FM, signs to himself, and he hung out on the street corner for a couple hours.
Did the Monterey Herald, which did such a fine article on Saturday, follow up at all?
No, they have not.
Any letters that you've noticed about the issue?
Not at all, but I can tell you this. I upset some people in Big Sur.
Oh, how?
Well, I've gotten some nasty email from a fella identifying himself as coming from KSIR 93.7, telling me that I fucked up big time.
Because?
Because I got the publicity. He claims that two FCC vans made an appearance in the Big Sur area this past weekend. And blames it on me.
Really? So this is another micro-broadcaster we're talking about?
Apparently.
Now, you mentioned that there was a fellow who had been broadcasting and he'd been harassed. I'm not quite sure whether you said by the FCC or by his landlady or by authorities. And he moved off into a piece of private property in Big Sur.
Right. That was the last pirate broadcaster that attempted to do this in Monterey.
Uh-huh. And this isn't the same fellow?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And I wrote them back, and I told them, if you do something illegal in America, you had better be ready for A, the punishment, B, an act of civil disobedience. And I explained to him that the laws in these United States will remain stagnant and in place until people like me and you all up there in Santa Cruz do something about it in the face of the authority.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what a lot of us think, whether we're working with Food Not Bombs to serve homeless people food and maybe get arrested for doing so, as they did with some of us in Santa Cruz and many of us in San Francisco some years ago. They've thankfully stopped doing that in San Francisco and Santa Cruz. And also, of course, for Free Radio, which, although, again, I guess there are different tactics. Some recommend, guerrilla processes whereby people, shut down their station and then dash to another area and so forth. Others suggest a completely open storefront approach where the entire community can see the station broadcasting, and so they also can see the Gestapo goon squads marching in to close them down.
That is my approach. That's why I've made myself highly visible. I have put flyers all over town. I have an internet site that's getting a lot of hits. And I'm using my real name. I'm not hiding here.
And you haven't been the subject of an injunction of any sort, right?
I've been served a warning.
You've been served a warning. When were you served this warning?
On June, I think it was the 6th of June.
And what kind of a warning was it?
It was really an acknowledgement of my rights and responsibilities from the point of being warned thereafter, that I would be held liable for financial monetary fines.
Did you, you spoke to an FCC person?
Yes.
And this person came to your studio?
He wanted to come in, and I would not let him in.
And he threatened to get a search warrant, or he just...
No, he said I had a very clean signal, and asked if he could come into the studio, and, you know, I smiled and looked him straight in the eye and just said no. And he expected that answer, I think.
What was his name?
Officer Bill is how I'm lovingly referring to him now.
Really?
I believe his last name is Beach, William Beach.
You know, I think that we may have, I'm not sure, we may have had this, I don't know, we had two officers come to our place and make the same request, FCC officers, and they were told that they didn't have permission to be on the property, and that was just how it was, nothing personal, and didn't come back. And I'm not aware, have you heard of any other instances in California or elsewhere in the country in the last month since the closing of...
Yes, I was just surfing the Alt Radio Free news group on the internet and discovered a letter from a station in San Diego in which he describes two FCC officers who had come to his door and were chased away by his landlady.
By his landlady?
Yeah.
Usually it's the FCC that chases away the landlady.
And she had asked for business cards, and they said that they didn't have any left because they had passed them all out up in Central California.
Really? So that station is still broadcasting?
Yes.
Do we know the call numbers for that station?
I don't. I would have to go back and look.
If you find it, let me know, because we are in contact with San Diego homeless protesters, 200 of whom had been in front of City Hall for 4 months before police began a crackdown. Now there's about 12 every night there.
We need a homeless protest in Monterey so badly.
Well, if it happens, let me know. I'll come down and join you.
We've got over 3,000 men and women roaming around up here. It is just disgusting. There's no shelter in Monterey. There's no soup kitchen.
Was there previously a soup kitchen?
No. What they do is they keep all that stuff over in Seaside in Sand City.
And what's the significance of that?
Well, I think the significance is that the tourists that come to Monterey don't get the opportunity to see the more destitute population that we have.
Is the homeless population primarily Latino or white, you know, or black? Or is it just mixed?
No, they're primarily white. Mm-hmm. Primarily alcoholic.
Uh-huh.
Second after that, they are black and they are schizophrenic.
Uh-huh.
And drug addict.
How many people would you call kind of counterculture people who are without homes? Or I guess you don't see them in the same places, I guess.
I don't see them in the same places. Monterey is very different from Santa Cruz, unfortunately.
Well, what's the story? If a man is panhandling on the streets in Monterey, what happens to him?
Don't know.
Well, I expect you to go out there with a tin cup and find out.
I will.
All right. Have a person with a video camera behind you. Or have your own little tape recorder. That's what we do here in Santa Cruz.
I will. Homeless in Paradise will be an excellent series.
Homeless in Paradise is the name of a calendar put out by the Santa Barbara homeless in the late 80s, by the way.
Oh, no. I thought I had an original phrase.
Well, it was rather an archetype, a Jungian archetype that crept into your mind because you are picking up on something profoundly universal.
Yes.
So how long have you been doing this Radio Free Monterey gig?
I decided to build my radio in October 97, and I got all my equipment and the radio up and working on March the 5th of this year.
So you're just a sprout. You're a newcomer, man.
Hey!
You're just a young toddler.
Yeah, and I'm going to shake things up here.
Wow. What about the contacts you made at this protest? I mean, I noticed you had folks from Berkeley, folks from San Francisco, folks from Santa Cruz, and I guess somebody from San Diego as well?
Yes. But let's make this clear. The demonstration was planned by Mr. Stephen Dunifer of Berkeley.
I might say misplanned by Mr. Stephen Dunifer of Berkeley.
Oh, not entirely.
Well, in all candor, the main conference was Monday. We needed to come when the folks were there. We actually caught them, of course. I guess a few of them had registered, but there were no events. Nothing really had been set up. It was sort of a fiasco. But
we had a conference calendar published here in the Herald that listed them as starting their conference on that day.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it was an honest mistake. It's hard to see how it
could... And Dunifer also thought that they were starting the conference on that day. And
right.
I had suggested the Saturday for everybody's convenience.
So it's your fault. We blame you.
Okay.
in actuality, as a protester here, as a video journalist, Becky Johnson points out, you did get very good TV coverage.
Yes, and that's what was important.
And you got this great... Again, I repeat, fine article in the Monterey County Herald, which is better publicity than any free radio station in the country I've ever seen has ever gotten. You know, I mean, it was so good, it actually brought people down to meet you, you know, I mean...
People, I was shocked, I've been encouraged.